You're listening to Freud's Angels,
where we talk about where the science of the mind meets the spirit of the heart.
Each week, we'll discuss ways to create awareness of yourself and your reaction to the world around you today,
as well as healing events of the past.
I'll be bringing in both traditional and non-traditional psychology concepts,
and I'll be bringing the healing through the lens of our heart and how to heal what we discover,
creating a powerful connection between what our heart needs and what our mind thinks we want.
Now we're your hosts. I'm Amy.
And I'm Vanessa. Now let's get into the show. Hello, hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to episode 42 of the Freud's Angels podcast. What are we going to discuss today, Amy?
Hello, lovelies. Today we're going to talk about limiting beliefs. And I giggle every time we have to figure out what number we're doing. And I'm like, when is it going to be a point where we're not talking about that anymore? Because we're so far, like 145.
Yeah. It's like,
when do we start saying what, I mean, it's like when we get to the hundreds and we're like, it doesn't matter what episode it is anymore. It's just an episode.
Yeah. Right. Right. I don't know. Does that happen now? See, now I have to go back. Like, I feel like every time I have a podcast question, I just like go do some research on the podcast that I have. And I get like the aha or the, oh no. Feeling of like, do they talk about it or do they just say the name of it? Like, I've never noticed all the podcasts I listen to. I have no idea if they say the number.
Oh gosh. I just think it's funny because we just get excited, friends, because yeah. We're like, we're just excited to be really consistent to keep doing this. But anyways, today we're going to discuss about our limiting beliefs, where they come from, why we have them. Like, you know, sometimes they're subconscious and we don't even know they're there. And as well as ways to like sometimes catch yourself in the limiting beliefs and how to query yourself in order to shift it. Yeah. And, you know, and maybe even I'll share some of the things that I do as a healer in order to help people shift those beliefs. I know Vanessa has a ton of ways to do that because that is, you know, it's one of her specialties. So, you know, so Vanessa, let's what would be a limiting belief, Vanessa, in your world? What's the definition?
Well, I think of a limiting belief as anything you believe you can't do. And I mean, as soon as you say the words, I can't, we have a limiting belief somewhere in there. or, you know, a limiting belief is essentially the opposite of believing in your power. It's the opposite of knowing that you're capable. It's a mistrust of your magic, essentially. And like you said, we get those messages from a lot of different places. And a lot of them just become some subconscious processes that go on without our even attempting to or knowing that it's happening. They become our true belief systems where we 100% believe that this is the way and the only way, and we must accept it. You know, a lot of people, when I talk to them about radical acceptance, I hear that they're radically accepting limiting beliefs. And I'm like, no, this isn't what I mean. Like, we aren't going to accept that you can't blank. Like, that's not how this goes. That creates that limiting belief of I only can go so far. I can only do so much. And the rest is for somebody else who is better, stronger, smarter, prettier, whatever, you know, whatever that is. We create limits of how far we can go, how much we can achieve, based on sometimes very small things and sometimes very big things, like the home we grew up in. You know, as for an example, somebody who grows up in a blue collar, you know, working family may believe that the only way to have pride in your work and the only way to, you know, achieve anything is through working your fingers to the bone, and that any other thing is not for you because that's not how your family does things. That's not how your brain works or your body works or whatever. You know, you create this belief that your life will go in a certain path because that's how the path before you and before them And, you know, generationally, that's how it goes. And when we shatter those beliefs, we allow that person out of that cage that, yes, you can work your fingers to the bone if that's what you feel you want to do. But you could also not and be successful. And we remove that belief system and replace it with something, you know, more magical and more open.
Awesome. Yes. And, you know, and I feel that there are also subconscious belief systems that we don't realize limit us, because when it comes to, like, how many times has your, like, if you sit back and you think about the way your grandparents talked, the way your parents talked, some of us of a certain age have grandparents who grew up with, there was nothing. There was very little. They did have to work very hard to achieve what they got, because if not, they would have starved. But we don't have to do that now, if that makes sense. It's a different time. It's a different environment. We have to understand that for them, that's what it had to be. For us, it's completely different. But there are thoughts like, I know so many of my, I've heard this, one of my friends used to say it all the time. Well, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Yeah.
Well, well, now you won't, because as if that's what you believe, then.
Right.
And we have to remember something I think is really important to remember. Our brain does not understand humor. It doesn't understand. It takes everything you say as, like, the universe doesn't say, oh, she was just joking when she said that about herself or her life. I don't need to listen to that. The universe is always listening. So, you know, when our brain is like, you know, oh, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. It believes that. It believes that. And when you put those words into the universe is like, spirit in the universe is like, oh, okay. So I need to give this person bad luck, because they wouldn't have anything at all if they didn't have bad luck.
Right. You're, and it's gonna be totally foreign, and they're going to, you know, not feel right.
You're projecting into the universe, even through humor, even through whatever, you're projecting that belief system, and it's going to be reflected back to you because you're asking for it, in a sense. That's what you're kind of manifesting, is because that is your belief. Well, you're going to manifest it.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, everybody always gets very angry when we talk about turning ourselves into gratitude, because, but I want to focus on the good things that I have in life, the gratitude that I have for the things that I have and the abundance that I have, because if I focus on that and talk about it and be really grateful, the universe sees that and says, oh, I need to mirror that gratitude in giving more abundance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when we have these limited belief systems, when we're saying them out loud, or we're very stubborn and staunch in believing them, the universe is going to mirror that in your life, where you do need to work your fingers to the bone to be successful, because you've created that.
Right. Right.
Now, your grandparents may have been situational where they had to, because it was like, you know, depression times, it was times of scarcity. Yes, that was their narrative, but that's not your narrative.
Right. Right. And we simply look around, right? Like it's a simple look around. And, you know, my clients aren't a fan of me when I do this sometimes, because they want to be, you know, kind of in that belief system, because it feels like work to get out of it. But I just, you know, especially with money, I feel like a lot of people have the limiting beliefs when it comes to money and work, like a lot, because our society just pounds it into our heads. But I will always say, is there somebody out there that doesn't work like that and makes a ton of money? And people are like, yeah. I'm like, what's the difference between them and you? What's the real difference? What's the core difference between them and you? Are they smarter than you? Are they better than you? Do they, like, what's going on, and how do we get you there? And it's like, you know, they kind of can't stand that the differences are actually much smaller when we get down there, because it feels like, man, I have been lying to myself. And you know, it feels foreign. It feels scary. It feels like, wow, you know, what do I do? How do I get there? But again, like it's, you know, it's building. We're tearing down and rebuilding. So we start at the bottom of like, well, what is possible to believe? And then we build on that. Like, well, how do we create that then with this new belief that, you know, I am not dumber than the person who does that, or I am not, you know, less talented than so-and-so who doesn't have to work as hard as I do. Like, how do we build on that so that I can be that person? You know, like I can be that person that doesn't have to work my fingers to the bone and still, you know, create abundance for myself.
And it's also, there's a lot of, okay, so there's, so side note for a minute, let's take a little tangent down my world. So if you think about it, there's a thing called multi-generational healing, and I'd love to do a podcast on that one day, friends. And what that is, you're healing, usually it skips a generation. Now, usually it's you and your grandparent or a grand something, whether it's a great aunt, grandmother, grandfather, it skips a generation. And there is a sense of you sometimes trying to heal that within them. So if your belief systems are limiting, and you find out that your belief system is like Vanessa said, and we'll kind of go into other areas of where belief systems work and not just working in money. But if you believe you have to work that hard, you may be in some way trying to heal your grandparents' struggle through what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even though you have a belief system, a lot of times our belief systems push us to act the other way. Like if your belief system was to work real that hard and to work and have no rest, no time off, whatever, if that's your belief system, sometimes people are extremely the opposite. Like they don't want to work hard. They don't want to, it can create an opposite effect, but that's where multi-generational healing, you're showing that grandparent, whether alive or deceased energetically, that they don't have to, that it's there, that they're okay. You're healing a hurt within them. And that's another way that these limiting belief systems can manifest. Right. Now, when we're talking about, you know, that's also why it skips a generation, because when you have your parents who have lived through their parents being that way, they're the ones that tend to go rogue and go the opposite direction because they hated their upbringing and how hard they had to work. And then you go the next generation is when they're like, oh, well, I want to work hard. What you're also doing when you're healing your limited beliefs is you're healing family cycles. You're healing familial woundings. You're healing that narratives around families and around, you know, because if you look at families, even way back when, you'll see that they all followed a same path. They all did the same thing. And when you can step into that space of, I don't want to do that. I want to be able to work hard, but not to the point of my own detriment, you know? Yeah. And when you do that or can feel that or step into that, that's when you're healing familial cycles. And a lot of times we're in that space to heal that. Like I feel personally in my family cycle, I'm here to heal the idea. One of the things is to heal the idea that you have to be societal standards of physical form in order to be pretty.
Yeah.
To be loved, to be wanted, to be desired. And that's a big thing that's been plaguing my family for many years, is the idea that the losing weight narrative. Yeah. And it's not that I'm not like, I'm adamant to like not do it, but I'm doing it in a way that's more healthy.
Yeah.
I'm bringing that radical acceptance in that Vanessa talks about as to where I am right now. And I'm and bringing in that sense of how can I love myself thin, or how can I love myself healthy? You know, rather than, you know, using the diet, the exercise thing, the thing my mother always does, my family still does, my brothers, they, that's their narrative. But for me, I'm like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. So there's another way limiting beliefs can, you know, you'd be pretty if you lost weight.
Right. And that's the true healing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the Band-Aid. The Band-Aid is the, okay, I mean, if we're going on weight, I'll just lose the weight and everything will be fine. The true healing is the body acceptance, the health acceptance, the health, like just going deeper than that and being able to say like, well, why would I lose weight? Do I want to do something physical that I'm limited by my body right now? Okay, so now I'm getting into a completely different narrative of why, and that's how I'm changing the cycle, is that I'm pointing to things that aren't just the weight. I'm pointing to things up that are healthy versus that, you know, just real negative belief that a superficial thing like what I look like is my worth.
Yeah. Yep.
I love that. And I think a lot of people on some level can relate to what you're talking about, and that limiting belief, man, if we want to take it there, we can take it there when it comes to our bodies. That's another huge area. You know, we talked about work, and I think that, you know, I think we kind of succinctly put that there, like, we don't have to do it, because if there's somebody who doesn't, we don't have to, period, end of story, you must accept this. But like, you know, with body, I think right now, man, it is a huge thing in our society with that body acceptance. And we're not everybody's doing the healing in a way that's going to stick, in a way that actually heals the generational, you know, does that generational healing, because it's based on that superficial. It's not based on the, like, who am I? How does my body work in my life? It does it work. If it works and I'm healthy, why am I deciding that my worth has anything to do with what I look like? You know, and really getting into that. Some people are doing it, but it's, again, like that superficial, right? It's like, so you'll see somebody that has a different body type and they'll say, you've got to accept me the way that I am. And what do you see? 6 months later, they've dropped 45 pounds. And you're like, that's, you know, like, that's not how that happened. You know what I mean? Like, we understand that you should love yourself, but there's still that superficial thing that was happening, and that healing has to be documented as well, or else people are getting that wrong message.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, with body, any type of body dysmorphia or any type of illness that surrounds our eating and our body, we have to understand, and this is something I know you angels know that I tout a lot, because I am very adamant that it has nothing to do with just our physical. It's always to do with our emotions. It always is to do with our mental health. It is always to do with where we're at, because and it just shows an example, like me living in Sedona, I was unsafe. I felt energetically, emotionally unsafe because I wasn't thriving. I was stressed out from work. I was, you know, I was really upset about the way things were going down. I didn't feel safe. I know others didn't feel safe. What did I start to do? I started to gain weight. Yeah. That's the trigger. You're not safe. You feel you need protection. That's the emotional reason why we're overweight. There's a need for protection. Well, my need for protection when I was a child was to be protected from all the bullies who, even though I wasn't really even a chubby kid, I was pretty thin, and they would call me Miss Piggy. That I needed protection, emotional protection from that. So what did I ended up doing is I ended up gaining weight, because that's the emotional, that's what it is. That's what triggered it. Now, it's also probably the fact that, you know, I didn't have good eating habits, because my mom was like struggling. She bought the cheap stuff. You know, there was no exercise regimen, so to speak. But my brothers, both of my brothers, neither of them are overweight. My older brother a little bit, but my younger brother's not overweight, and he had the same upbringing. So what's the difference between the two of us? The fact that I was really bullied in school, and that I emotionally was not okay. And even growing up through high school, I emotionally wasn't okay. So when I'm in times where I'm unsafe, I tend to start gaining weight. And right. Then when the situation has done, I tend to normalize. Like, I feel like I'm wearing clothes now that I couldn't wear in Arizona because I had gained the weight. So it's like my body will eventually, oh, you're safe. Okay, you're safe. All right, we're good. We're safe. Even though I'm still in a little bit of chaos, I feel safe because I have people who are around me who support me. I have taken care of a lot of that situation. So because of that, my body naturally decided it didn't need the weight anymore because I emotionally am better now than I was. So,
right. And it goes in the opposite direction too, even, you know, like in working with people with eating disorders, you know, that trauma in creating using your body as what people think of you, you know, even if it has nothing to do with that, you know, like, so some people who are restrictive, you know, they want to be seen and they want to be heard, and they feel like that, like using their body in that way gets attention, right? Because they want to be seen and they want to be heard. They haven't gotten down to that deeper level of that self-healing. So they're using their bodies as control for themselves, for, you know, their power. They feel powerful. It allows other people to see them. I mean, there's just so many things that we manipulate subconsciously,
yep.
Right? Like, or it's underneath the layer of something that we think it is, but under, you know, that next layer or the layer underneath it is really where the healing is really the part that we have to heal. And your knowledge, like your knowledge of like safety and the ways that you're being unsafe manifested in your body, you know, that's where the power is, because then you literally just choose your acceptance level based on your effort. Yeah. Right? Like I do it where I'm just like, well, the winter came and I ate a lot of stuff because I felt like I didn't like the winter, and I gained some weight and it was fine. Like, I'm not upset. I don't feel like it has changed me as a person. And then, you know, I see my unhealthy ways. I'm not coming at it from the thing that I'm hearing from a lot of people, you know, like the swimsuit, you know, like, oh God, I'm going to have to be on the beach.
Body.
Yeah, I am going to have to be on the beach. Absolutely. But I don't feel good. Yeah. Like, I feel not good right now, but I'm not also going to go onto the other end of the spectrum. It's not about, I'm probably still going to have a little chub when I have my bathing suit on, because that's not what it's about. It's about feeling good. When I feel good, I'll know that I'm doing the right things by my body, that I'm taking care of my body and my brain and my soul and my heart, and everything will be in alignment. And it's not going to matter what my body looks like. It's going to matter what I feel like.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, what we try to get people at. But unfortunately, we also live in this society that looks at our bodies.
Yes. Well, so, and it's
how
also,
how do we combat that?
Hard.
How do we change that thing, belief?
People,
my body is how the world sees me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that that's in some ways, you know, I was talking to someone the other day about classes and, you know, and teaching and me teaching. And I'm like, I wonder if me, you know, my, how I appear, if that turns, you know, not so much that with the healing thing, like, you know, what is there something about me physically that makes them think, oh no, she can't do it, or oh no, she's not going to be effective. And that's, you know, I've considered that. But I also want to point out too, is that when we become self-aware of how our body works in a sense of its reaction to our environment, then we have the ability to not make a big deal about certain things. So for example, when I was in Sedona, I could have stepped into, oh, now you're gaining weight and what the hell? And I could have totally used that to hurt me, to like kind of belittle myself, to kind of really use it as a narrative to be self-flagellating. But when I knew why, because I was like very clear that, oh, I know why I'm gaining weight, because I don't feel safe anymore. Cool. Then I was aware enough to not use it as such, because then I'm creating the environment that I'm already in. I'm already feeling unsafe. And then if I start using it as reasons or ways to self-flagellate, it's like, forget it. I'm just creating another layer of trauma around, or another layer of stigma around myself and my body. But I've really strived hard in the last year to figure out what my body's trying to tell me. And
yeah.
And normally my MO would have been to use it as self-flagellation, but because I gained enough awareness around it, I was able to be like, oh, it's not an issue right now that I need to handle. It's just what it is. And I can't fix my environment until I move, because I can't control other people.
Right.
And right. So, you know, I could have gone down the road because let's go back to the idea of limiting beliefs. I want to tie this in some way that maybe helps you guys. When we talk about ourselves, when our words have so much power, but when we talk about ourselves, for example, when we say, oh my, you know, if my ass wasn't so fat, or if, you know, if my belly didn't stick out so far, or, you know, we make fun of, if I didn't have 10 chins or something, you know, we make fun of ourselves. The universe, mm-hmm. again, spirit, the universe doesn't understand that we're quote unquote, we think we're joking, but we're really not. We're really using it to hurt ourselves. It doesn't understand. It doesn't, it's neutral. It doesn't understand that you were joking or that you were trying to make fun of yourself. So it kind of feeds what you're giving it. So the universe is going to reflect back to you the ass you think that it is fat, that is not fat, but you say it out loud and you say it against yourself. It's going to reflect that back to you.
Becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If what you believe will be, and if you believe it, because you wouldn't say it if you didn't believe it, even in a joke. And I tell people this all the time when we're doing our exercise, and almost every client I get gets the exercise of write down all the mean things you say about yourself this week. Every single one of them. Have a notebook open every time you say something like that was so dumb, or I can't believe I did that, or what an idiot, or, you know, look at my face. Write it down in the book, right? And like, there's a lot of those where, oh, I was just kidding. You wouldn't have even said it if you were just kidding, because it wouldn't be on the radar.
Right.
You wouldn't be saying anything about it, because there's this that you didn't say anything about, because you're not judging yourself in any way on any level about those things. And that's why they're not in the notebook.
Right.
Because you're not looking at them, because they're not things that you're judging yourself on. The things that you're joking about, it's not a joke.
Yeah,
truly and honestly.
They always say there's an element of truth in every joke.
That.
And
that, especially about us. It's, well, like, let me poke at myself so that nobody else will. If we've heard that before too, right? Like, make fun of yourself before somebody else can make fun of you. In a little way, you know, it's supposed to be an empowering thing, but it's really just, like you said, a self-flagellating. Another way of doing it.
And, you know, I really am, it's horrible when we think, and I've done it. Like, I've done it, you know, I've been there. I try, if I make fun of myself first, then your ridicule, your bullying has no power over me. And it's like, it's that kind of, in the sense of like, if I do it first, then it takes away your fun, you know, so that, I don't have to deal with it. So let's get back. Okay. So what other ways, cause I could go down that road forever. Oh,
right.
Because it's so in the forefront of what I'm working through. And I think a lot of people are working through that. And a lot of people are having, maybe even listening to this, are having a little bit of an awakening as far as the things that they say about themselves, because to be honest, I think most of you think it's normal to make fun of yourself, and it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not okay.
I know better, and I catch myself doing it, right?
Yeah.
Even in the slightest ways, not always. And that's the other thing, is that it is not always obvious. You know, just like when we started this podcast, saying these limiting beliefs are not always obvious. They're not always right there. They're not messages that you're saying out loud all the time. And it's the same thing with these negative beliefs about ourselves that are creating the limitations. We aren't always saying them out loud, but, and we aren't always saying them to the extreme, but we're creating that doubt. We're taking that power. We're cutting our power right from our legs every time that we don't talk about ourselves in a positive way, or even a neutral way. I tell people this all the time. I'm fine if you're neutral. I'm fine if you're neutral. I'm not fine if you're negative, because you are then creating, you are now in a self-fulfilling prophecy in a negative way. And we don't want to do that. That's why you're here. You come to me to change that. So we've got to listen. We've got to change the way that we speak to ourselves. And it, again, doesn't have to be positive right away. It can be neutral. Yeah. Just catch those negative things. And they're so slight sometimes. Seriously. So slight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they can be so deceiving because our brain is so good at deceiving us, thinking that, well, if we do this, it would be good for us. And it's really not. And it knows it isn't, but it convinces us that, oh, yeah, this is okay. You're okay to do this. And it's like, no.
Every time you say something like, that's not for me, you're limiting yourself, yeah. Right? You've made a decision that never, ever, ever, ever is that thing for you. It's a limitation that you placed. And we don't think of it because it's not huge, right? We're not saying something like, I'll never have money. That seems like obvious, right? Like that's an obvious limitation that we put on ourselves, but that's not for me, or I can't, I don't know how to do that, or that's not what we do in this family. I can't stress enough that that is a horribly limiting belief system. You know, there are things that just become so commonplace and we don't realize until we start looking at it and having that awakening of like, yeah, there's a lot of ways that we can limit ourselves. A lot of words that we can say, you know.
Usually when a person is speaking about, oh, we don't do that in our family, a lot of it is coming down to getting help.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Is the idea of, you know, the therapy, the doctors, it's getting help for your illness, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we don't talk about ourselves outside of the family. Well, no, that's why you're depressed. That's why you have mental health issues. Yeah, is because exactly. you don't.
Yeah. But it even spans over so many different things. I mean, when people are in front of me and they say, you know, like they're interested in something, they're interested in piano and they are from like a roughneck area. Well, we don't do that in my family. We don't do that in my culture, in my whatever, like insert whatever limiting culture it is, or, you know, limiting group it is. It's like, what? Like, sure you can, but you've allowed that message to be there and allowed it to create within you the cage that, yes, that it's not even possible. Yep. You know, it's taken even the possibility away. Not just the, it might be hard. It's like not possible. We don't do it because the ripple effect in my life is not worth it, is that message that you're giving yourself. Yeah. And instead of the message of, I really want to do that, that could like tickle my passion and make my life so much happier. Why am I letting this, that, and the other people, family, society, you know, friend group, why am I letting them be part of this limiting belief? Why am I allowing them to have the power over my beliefs right now in this moment? Why am I not following what I know I want? Why can't that be part of my belief system that belongs to me?
Yeah. And if you think about something you want to do and you're like, oh, I would really love to do this or be this or have this, and then there's a message that comes into your brain that says you can't, or that it's not allowed, or we don't do that. So
hard.
You know, write it down. Write down what you think that is, or why you can't have it or do it or be it. Because I guarantee there's a connection to your family. There's a connection to your family, or there's a connection to someone that you idolize that feels that way. Because a lot of times, I mean, while idols are very good as children, sometimes people have their own limiting beliefs as idols and pass them on to other people. And it's not done out of malice or discontent. It's just done because we're human.
Not very many parents, right, look at their kids and go, I really seriously want your life to be super hard.
Right.
So I'm going to pass down this message that you have to like live a miserable life working your hands to the bone. Like, that's not what parents are saying when they, you know, or feeling when they look at their children, but that's the message they pass along by their, those subtle words, those, you know, we don't do that here. This is how we do. This is hard work, you know, all of those things and their behavior, yeah. right? If I don't see my parents, well, I mean, I did see my parents, but if I didn't see my parents try to better their lives and watch it happen because they believed it could, I wouldn't have the belief system that I have. I would believe that we are this kind of people. And there you have it.
Right. And that's the cycle, because that's why it skips a generation. Mm-hmm. Because we react to our parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if our parents are trying to heal what their parents dealt with, mm-hmm. and then it skips that generation. So we're kind of back two generations in reaction to our parents, that our children are going to have the same thing our parents did, because they want to heal that generation too. It's right. just the way it's energetically. It's the kind of the way things work, because it's, but every generation should heal a little bit part of it.
Yeah.
Should, you know, naturally we heal that little bit, that little piece. Some of us take on bigger pieces because that's why we're here.
But, heal the whole family. Yeah. All of it, everyone and everything.
But what's great about it is that even if you heal your connection to your family, that and your connection to your grandparents, to your parents, that's your karma, that's your path, that's your contracts. And but just being self-aware. So think about this, Angel. What is it, something you really want to do or be? Just take a second. We'll give you a second to write down, what do you want to be or do?
Go into dreamland. This is what we do in therapy. Yeah. Just go into dreamland. Pretend yeah. money doesn't matter. Pretend it's an infinite flow of whatever. What would you do? What do you want? What right. would bring you joy every single day if you got to do it? Exactly. Really? And don't judge yourself on it. Just say it. If what you want to do is lay on the beach all day, every day, you can write that down. You can absolutely write that down. Because what we're doing, and like when I do this exercise, what I'm doing is trying to get at that underlying feeling that is where manifestation comes from, yes. right? So if I say, I want to lay on the beach all day, what am I saying? I may be saying that in reaction to how hard I work right now and I feel like I don't get any rest. And right. so we may be just literally just building more rest into your life and creating fulfillment that way, that it isn't about that, because you know, we'll go deeper into it and I'll have someone say, I actually wouldn't want to do that every day for the rest of my life. I would be bored. I like to blank, you know, and it's like, okay, well now we're adding on, we're adding industry or we're adding artistic, you know, these are the we're again, rebuilding, we're rebuilding your belief system of what is important to you and how do we make it work for you rather than how do we work in somebody else's belief system.
Exactly. And, you know, once you kind of figure out what that is and stepping into it. And so the next step I would go, Vanessa, you tell me if your step is different. So like you said, we access the feeling as if you already had that in your life.
Yes.
And then for just a minute, I want you to hear all of the things your brain is trying to tell you why you can't do it.
Amen, sister.
And write them down too. And write down what it is that your brain is telling you why you can't do that.
Yep.
And why? What is the judgment? I want you to connect to the judgment that those thoughts are bringing. Because when you tell yourself you can't do something, there's a reason. There's a judgment happening to what the desire is. If your desire is to lay on the beach all day, every day, there's a judgment for doing that. And so when you're writing down the things your brain is telling you, try to see if there's a common judgment with it.
Yeah.
And just observe.
And just like that, dreamland has to be honest. This has to be honest too. And I find people have a hard time with this sometimes, about really being honest about those messages and having to write down what's happening.
Yeah.
And even the paying attention to all of it and really thinking it through. So what was my first thought? You know, what was the first negative thing that came through? We got to go a little bit deeper into that too, right? Like, so yeah. Here's the message I got. Where'd I get that message?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, definitely the absolutely next step for sure.
And yes, and then following in alignment, okay, so where did that judgment or thought come from? Do you judge people that way, or is it a adopted judgment from family, from our parents, from your family, or from someone close to you? Is it an adopted judgment? And see if that judgment holds true to your heart. So if your desire is to lay on the beach all day, every day, and that's your desire, the judgment of that can't come from you because you desire it. You want it. The judgment of it, of someone doing that. Oh, that person's lazy. That person's not working hard enough. Whatever that judgment is of that part of the person who does that has come from somewhere.
Yes.
And so when we kind of go back and we're writing things down, we're finding common judgments, we want to see who was that felt that way. Or am I perceiving someone's feeling that way? Is it a perception of a judgment? Because sometimes we think that that person would feel that way, but they don't, because we've made a narrative around it. But that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, I'm writing it down because it's a whole other podcast.
So, you know, whether it's perceived judgment or an actual judgment that they've said, who is that?
Right, right. And you can, the simplest way that I find there is to do that is to literally just ask, well, what do you think about people who do that right now? Right?
Yep.
Like, what do you say when you see somebody that you know, or what, you know, like what comes to mind when you know that somebody's doing that? You know, and there's positive and negative usually that come out, right? Like there's jealousy, absolutely. I think most of the time, you know,
lucky, but it's son of a gun.
You're happy, or, you know, like you said, or they're lazy, or they expect everything to be handed to them, or blank, 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 and blank. Well, how did that get there? And then the positive ones, we go on that journey too. Well, like, where'd you get that message? Where'd you get the message that it was nice to lay on the beach? Oh, because I like it, because it makes me feel peaceful. Okay, so the beach is a grounding place for you. How do we add that into your life? Right? Like, yep. How do we add a piece of that into your life so we can test the theory, right? Like that's, I mean, psychology has tested theories over and over and over again. And because every human being is different, we're never going to be done testing theories.
Yeah.
We're never even going to have proven theories because people are a wild card. Nothing's ever going to be 100%. So we test the theory. All right, go lay on the beach. Go be at the beach. Tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
Just be there for 10 minutes. How do you feel? You know, and or play the piano. Go find some place, you know, go to a music store and touch the piano.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel. Right? And it's like, people are, I can't do that. I'm like, you 100% can, but you just did that limit. Like, you're limiting your ability to even test or to even pretend or to even go there. Like, the limit goes so deep that yes. You can't even imaginarily do any of these things. So
right.
How are you going to get there? Like, we've got to shatter every single layer of these limiting beliefs, you know, and it, I mean, they go so deep. I think people don't really understand how deeply these go. Yes. But when I say deep, people always think, well, that means it's going to take forever to heal. But that's also not true.
No, it doesn't. Now, this is where our paths, Vanessa and I paths, are going to diverge. Because, well, it's true. Because for me, had you angels sitting in my healing room and we're talking about it and you're like, yeah, my grandfather or my great uncle used to say that all the time. And I don't necessarily believe that that's true. And I don't want to believe it. And so what we would do is we would connect to that person energetically. We would go into meditation. We would connect to that person that you've adopted that belief from. And what we're going to do is you see that person in their environment. You notice their environment. What what, you know, what era did they grow up in? Did they grow up into when, you know, hard work was the only way? That's all you had. That's all you did. You grew up working hard because that's all there ever was. There wasn't any of this laying by the beach stuff, you know? And then we would talk about it. And then we would have understanding why that person felt that way. Even if we don't know why, we would have understanding that that person received it from somewhere else themselves. They could have received it from their grandfather or their aunt or their uncle or whatever, their parents. They could have received that message somewhere else. And so what you do is we always ask for permission to heal the connection, to heal that thought process from you and your, if your loved one's deceased or if they're still alive, we ask for permission. And we go, what we do is we kind of visually do a technique, whether it's wrapping that person in the light and keeping them safe so that we're not interrupting their patterns, their life story. But we go through the process of healing, diffusing and disconnecting that thought process judgment within the cellular memory of the person, the person I'm working with. And then energetically, then we take them to that feeling of actually being on the beach and what is it that you're seeking? And then we dial in, okay, imagine yourself laying on the beach and just taking them to that emotion and to that feeling of euphoria, of what that is, and describing how that feels. And creating a name for it, creating an app for it. Like, you know, when you're in that space is like, oh, we used to create energetic apps, like tapping your heart 3 times to go back to that state of bliss or to that state of euphoria when you need it, like that instant connection to actually being there. Yeah. And then we take that so far into the present life, into the awakened life of like when they're conscious and tapping them into how that feels. And having that every time that judgment shows up or that feeling shows up, reconnecting them to that sense of euphoria of being on the beach and reconnecting to that so that kind of we're kind of wiring that pathway. So whenever that judgment show up, it's met with love, light, and happiness versus pain and judgment.
Yeah.
So it's kind of taking the energy of the judgment and changing it to joy, love, happiness. So that's kind of the way that's the path I take with my clients and healing it out of their cellular memory. Because understand this, friends, we all have cellular memory. We all have cellular memory through our ancestors, through our DNA. I just helped a family clear an issue in their family, something that was attached to their DNA back to like medieval times. Wow. We just did a whole timeline healing of their family. Now, does that change the situation and the people that are deceased? No, but it helps the people going forward not live in that energetic challenge that was presented to them.
Yeah.
So now going forward, that there is a sense of clearing of that cellular memory, working with each person, working with each, you know, family member as a collective, and changing the DNA, changing that healing, because we carry DNA back from our ancestors from like, you know, Africa, you know, cause, you know, or wherever we're from, you know, we hold that in our DNA. And when we can clear that and clear that part of ourselves, we have freedom. We can now create new things that's carried on in our DNA, new things like less judgment, more happiness, like less sorrow. Because if you think about it, in the middle, from like the Bronze Age, all throughout the medieval ages, all throughout, there's a lot of pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And so, so when we're working out our lives and we wonder, why am I so sad? Why do I compete with depression that I have no idea why? Those are the things you look toward. We look towards, you know, what was your ancestral life like? You know, mine, I had a lot of people who fought in a lot of wars. And so there's no wonder why I'm like slightly depressive, you know, why I have an affinity for like the World War documentaries, because it's like, that was my ancestral life, is that, you know, they fought in, you know, back in the medieval times and wars and skirmishes, and that was their life. And so that's kind of in me. So when we heal DNA, cellular memory, we begin to gain that freedom to recreate our own cellular memory with love, with light, with possibilities, the idea of the and more. It's like you stop limiting yourself to just what the judgment of what your family has given you and passed down through the ages. And you say, it stops here with me. And so with you, you can heal your DNA and help heal if you have children, or, you know, when you do have children, your children will come in through with a DNA that's already healed. It won't need to go through the processes or any healing. So that's why we try to change those belief systems and clear those belief systems at an energetic and a cellular level, so that you can live this empowered, transformational life that you feel like you can do anything you want to do if you want to. And if you don't, you don't have to. Right. So if you don't want to work 20 hours of overtime every week and you're like, nah, that's not the life for me, because mm-hmm. I know I'm supported.
Right.
End of story. Then you don't do it. You know, it's huh? not that sense of like feeling like you're failing if you're not working extra. Cause I know I'm a recovering workaholic. I get it. I get it. So we're talking, you know, my speak, because I do have a tendency to, you know, overwork. That toxic, you know, loyalty that we just talked about in last week's episode, 2 weeks ago from now when we're posting it. But, you know, I have all that because I was always taught that I had to work hard and I never work hard enough.
Right.
And that's, you know, those are also belief systems. Like, you're not working hard enough. You're not, you know, you're not enough. You're too much, or whatever it is. Those are all limiting beliefs.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, how big this rabbit hole really is.
Yes. Cause we could go on for like hours at this. Hours.
Right.
So in a nutshell, that's the path of an energetic, you know, person who works with the energies and healing on that level. Vanessa, at that point, what would you do with your client? You know, kind of ballpark. I mean, everybody's different. I know you're going to say that, but, but like, you know, kind of how do you reconnect them? How do you know that they know what the judgment is? They know kind of where it came from. Where would you kind of sometimes take them?
Well, so we do two things. We do a lot of how do we change the language that we're using on a day-to-day basis, because that's tangible, that's concrete. People like that. A lot of people like to have a task, you know, like to feel like they are actively working every day towards something versus, you know, having this big goal, this big picture of whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. But the other part being like, how do we integrate now? Now that we know that that belief is there, and now we've kind of identified the feeling that we're looking for in changing that belief. How do we add that in? How do we decide what things are feasible right now to start? And where is our end point of what we really want? What do we really want to get at? So in using, I mean, I feel like it's, we've been using that work thing a lot. So I'm going to go with relationships. So say the limiting belief that had been told had something to do with the class of people that you congregate with, right? So you have this limiting belief that you date within your financial class. Say, I mean, I'm making this up as I go along. so forgive me. So you only date within your financial class. I'm not fancy enough. Or even the opposite way. When I was growing up, Uptown Girl was like my favorite song. And because I related to, you know, Billy Joel is singing about being a blue collar worker and wanting to be with this girl who was like an uptown girl, like she was just so fancy and way too fancy for him. And the idea that he could be with her, because it was about them being people. And it wasn't, you know, like eliminating the limiting belief of our financial status equates to the kind of connection we're able to make. So if I'm working with somebody that is wanting to be in a relationship, but feels like the people that they're dating are, you know, just kind of not big enough dreamers for them, right? Like I have a goal in my life and I'm feeling like I can't find a person who has that same goal because they want to stay small. I want to be big. So we'll just say it that way. They want to stay small, like kind of chill. I want to be big, but I don't feel like I fit with those people who are already there. What do I do? We start to clear in that. Well, what are we looking for to feel? Like you want to feel like somebody's building with you. You want to feel equal. What's going on here? Like where is the inequality in how you feel and what you've been doing versus what you want to feel and what you want to be doing? And so we'll go there. And once we kind of figure out where those messages came from, of why you can't date outside your financial class, then we start to add in positive words of, you know, I'm a big dreamer. I'm looking for a big dreamer. Or it could be as simple as like, I want to be a CEO of a company someday because I want to be helpful, or I want to, maybe a CEO of a nonprofit, right? So you're looking for a power position, but it's not based on a money hungry, whatever. So you have in your mind now, like, I want to be around a person who knows how to be in power, who wants to be able to do that, but without that, you know, I'm going to generalize when I say this, but kind of that Wall Street mentality, that shark mentality, that cutthroat mentality, because that's the message that I've been given my whole entire life, is that these people on this level are sharks. And so I don't belong there. I don't belong with the sharks because I don't want to be a shark. Right. So this person, as we're going through this, we're identifying what they're looking for so that we can eliminate the financials, eliminate the status in society, eliminate all that thing, so that we're looking for core, like core things about people that they're trying to connect with, core values, core beliefs, that I'm changing my beliefs to be this way. And so I'm looking for somebody that's compatible with my beliefs and compatible with my values. And I'm taking away all of the superficial as a yes or a no, because I'm looking for those people. And it's like amazing what happens when people like open up that idea. You know, it's like they're willing to get to know people just for the sake of getting to know people, because it's no longer about what you do or, you know, what your bank account looks like. It's literally like, you're a human in front of me. This is what I want to do with my life. This is where my passion lies. How do you fit in there? Oh, you may not. And that's okay. I don't have to have a negative thought about you because of that. It's okay. And we say like those languages, it's okay that this didn't work out for me. It doesn't mean it's bad or good. It's neutral. It's just not for me right now. It doesn't connect with my connections. And what it does is create within a person possibility as the flow that they live in. That things are possible, and that we sometimes just kind of float along by it because it's not what we want. It's always possible, but we may not want it. And it just takes that, it just brings power to people and allows them to understand that what they want is possible. We just have to really know what you want and know why you've been stopping yourself from getting it. So that's the journey we go on. I mean, I did make up that scenario. And it was a little bit difficult for me to navigate through because I was like, ooh, I'm kind of like, I am kind of making up as I go along, but stuck to that core, you know, yes. And that core of, you know, those steps is the same no matter what situation we're handling. Doesn't matter. It's the same core steps.
Right. And, you know, and it's just, and I love it. I was like, in it. I was like, oh, okay. So how can I take this? I need to sign up for some therapy, Vanessa. I totally forgot about therapy again this week. So I've blown it off for 2 weeks in a row and I'm like, fuck. But anyways, no,
the therapist is out of room.
Doesn't work well when I'm doing that. But anyways, so and I love it. And can we pause here, Angels? You know, we haven't really talked about what we offer. Could you imagine? Let's take you down a scenario, and I'm going to pause because I really want to remind those out there of what we offer. Because could you imagine you spend time with Vanessa and you're in this space of limiting beliefs and you're exploring and you're on it and you're finding it and you're like, oh my gosh, and you're feeling good about it. And you have this amazing sessions with Vanessa and you're like, yes, I'm on this. But you want to take it that much deeper. You want it to be cleared on a cellular level, not just, you know, in the mind, but in the body, so to speak. You want to embody the change because that's what I do. That's what it's like. My work is the absolute best way to follow up something with Vanessa, like a therapy session with Vanessa. It is like, because what you're doing is when you're creating change and you're creating new ways and new, you're rewording things, you're creating that change. There's a vacuum that's created when you're doing that. And the best way to fill that vacuum is to go seek energy work or someone of an energy worker to help cleanse the, like really release it on a cellular memory level and then bring in that light, bring in that sense of, yeah, bring in that good energy to really refill and revitalize your cells, bringing in that new change, taking what Vanessa has said to do, the things that you created, the plan, the action plan you created with Vanessa, and really cementing it within your being, not just your mind, but your physical, your energetic, all your energy layers, and really working in that cellular memory to clear it and to bring in that new thought process, that new belief systems, and to cement that. I mean, it's almost the natural process of what we all should do when we go to therapy.
Huh? Like, and I think that people can relate to. And as you were talking, I wrote this down because I was like, oh my God, I feel brilliant. I mean, I don't know, maybe somebody else said it, but I feel brilliant right now. Like, as you were talking, I was thinking, all right. So like what we do is like, we do the therapy thing and then we do the body thing, right? Like we do the mind and the body or the mind and the soul or the mind and the heart, you know, like we're like, either way, it's all right there. People can totally understand that you may go to a therapy session and then go to a spa afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Like, we get that we work so hard in therapy, we should probably go relax afterwards. That's outside in, right? Because it's our skin, right? We're using our skin. We're using our outside to heal the inside. And what you're doing is the opposite thing. It's the cellular spa is that where you're going to. We're going from the inside out. Yeah. And like, as you were talking, I was like, you know, I never thought to tell anybody that it's like, it's literally going to a body spa, but you're going from the inside out versus rubbing on your skin to make the inside feel good.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that too. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with going to the, cause that's, see, I am thankful that I have a massage therapist who's also an energy worker. So that's another, but I just want to remind you guys that Vanessa and I offer this dynamic process that can create this transformational change within your life to help not only help you recreate new empowering beliefs and release those limiting beliefs, release all of the things that prevent you from stepping out into who you want to be and who you are at your core. So all of that, you know, can be done with a session with a session with Vanessa and then a follow-up session with me, and, you know, and taking it to that next level, because I find therapy is amazing. Therapy is essential to my life. Mm-hmm. But when you follow it up with a really great energy healing, it takes it to that nth degree. It takes it to that next level healing that is permanent. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're not, you know, yeah. Okay. So sometimes I get a habit that comes back, but it comes back for me to recognize, nope, I've worked on you. no, this is going to change because I'm confident because I've created the change, not only in my mind, but in my cellular level. It doesn't feel right. The habit doesn't feel right anymore because the cellular memory has changed. The wounding has been healed.
Familiarity, which is what happens when something, you know, we get triggered by familiarity and it feels comfort. Now it's discomfort.
Yes. So rather than when you're triggered about something and you're apt to go do this, like you're triggered because somebody was talking about not working hard enough, you're triggered to go work overtime. And instead of like being triggered to go work overtime, you look and you're like, wow, I work so hard. You'd be like, oh, I'm so glad that I can work hard within my 40 hours a week. And then I can go play after, like I can go that's really enough. And rather than feeling guilty that you're not and adding extra hours, you're very confident in knowing that I do work hard in my 40 hours. And that's exactly what I need to do.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
Yeah. Because
that's totally possible. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. And
help you do that.
Yes. And we can take you to that level. We can take you to that level. And I really just wanted to kind of I think the more that we can show an example of the processes we do and how we do it and how we can help you is a better understanding rather than just talking about reveal and release sessions. Right. And, you know, and that dynamic duo coupon code, whatever code you want to call it, is still effective for us. What did we say? How much was it?
Our reveal and release. Oh, I don't remember.
I don't either.
Dang. 180?
120.
120? 150? I don't know. Somewhere around there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure with the reveal and with the dynamic duo code, it's 120 for you get time with Vanessa, at least an hour with Vanessa, an hour with me. Perfect. And you, which is an amazing because I charge $150 an hour for my sessions.
It's very, very good deal.
So you get two for one, you get the twofer, but in a more dynamic way, because right. I think that there are parts that I can't, that I'm not licensed. I'm not allowed to do. There are parts that I cannot do that Vanessa does so well and so beautifully. And I think that having that combination, and then after you decide maybe I do need a little bit more therapy. I want to continue this process and you want to sign up with Vanessa, or maybe you feel, you know, one more energy session might just make me feel like on top of the world. And so you reschedule with me. So, and even if you decide that, you know, oh, I have an energy worker that's closer that I can go see in person, that's beautiful too. Everything can be done remotely. My work can be done remotely. I do it because I'm on the West Coast. I have a lot of friends on the East Coast that, you know, that pay for my services. So everything can be done distantly. Of course, therapy can too. Telehealth is always.
Right.
So,
and it's easy for me, you know, being doing what I do now for myself. It's, you know, a completely different ballgame from when I was, you know, kind of confined to, I guess, the red tape of a traditional, you know, psychology thing. Yeah. Yes. Do I, you know, did I still pursue a license? Of course, you know, because it's just smart to do that. But when it comes to my own work and being able to create my own brand of healing that isn't tied to anything like that, that I use some of the concepts, but I don't necessarily provide, you know, a traditional therapy. It's great for me, you know, because I'm much more connected to each individual in front of me and less, you know, and less connected to theory and all of that kind of stuff that I think, you know, it can be harmful in these kind of situations. You know, a lot of people like to come to me because of that non-traditional, because they're kind of, they've already been there, done that, you know, and my belief system of, you know, I actually have a question sitting in my queue about the DSM. And it's like, I got like a, like ick feeling when I was like, oh, I got to answer a question about the DSM, because I very much believe that what I provide is something so different that I'm separate. I'm separate from that world, you know. And in such a beautiful and wonderful way, because I am able to open up to the spiritual side of things. I'm able to open up to, you are a person in front of me. You are not a theory personified, which is, I think, what a lot of people are afraid of. And so that's why I'm a little careful with what I put out there is what I provide, right? Because if you're looking for a traditional therapist, you need to, you know, we can talk about how to get you that. But if you're looking for, you know, a more non-traditional counseling session where we're going to talk spiritually, we're going to talk about your heart and your soul and not just your brain and the processes in your brain, here I am. Yes. And that's, I feel like, important for people to understand that I'm bringing the Freud, but we're Freud's angels for a reason, because I'm a little bit taunting the Freud also. Yes. A lot bit taunting the Freud, if we're being honest.
Well, and it's like Vanessa always says, you know, that's, it's different. Every and it is different. And the way therapy should be is that it should be different every time, because every person doesn't need that same cookie cutter. Well, how does that make you feel? Like, you know, while that question isn't, that question is important, it's really directed very differently in traditional therapy. And that's why I'm having such a hard time finding a therapist, is because I don't want traditional therapy. I want somebody who we can go down rabbit holes and we can suss things out, and we can, like, you know, do everything you're talking about, do all the things that, you know, you've shared with us. It's like, but at the same time, you know, they're out there. So. Right.
Well, and that's the aside, I guess, where I was kind of going with that was, you know, just letting people know, because wording, again, you know, we talk about words being really important. Words are very important. When I use the word therapist so sparingly, because I don't like that. I don't like to be fit in there. I like the word counselor. I feel like I switched over to that for that reason, because it made me feel a little bit more free. It made me feel a little bit more free. And so when I say that out loud and you're listening right now, I want you to keep that in mind. You know, that when you're looking for something that's non-traditional, we're using other words too, right? There's intuitive counseling. There's, you know, life coaching, right? Like we've kind of grown into the idea that life coaching is a great thing. Yeah. You know, it's not something to be, you know, kind of joking about. People need life coaches, because it's essentially that goal setting and achievement that sometimes we need. It has nothing to do with your mental health. It literally just has to do with organization and coming up with ideas. So, yeah, I mean, again, like, nutshell of the story is what you're coming for when you come to this reveal and release is a unique opportunity to address things in a way that you've never addressed before. Right. And I mean, we obviously believe in it. That's why we created it. So in bringing it back to the, even this podcast, you know, limiting beliefs, we can attack a limiting belief in an hour session, believe it or not. Yeah, we can get at it. Not all of them, but we can get at a very specific limiting belief that we need to clear and do the work together, you and I, and then I can send you on to Amy to refill. And you, I don't see too many people that don't walk on air after something like that.
Yeah. Or just feel so empowered that they make huge growth and huge movement in their lives in ways that they only dreamed they could. That's, you know, that's the process. It's like when you can, when those epiphanies come and you can not only embody it in your mind, but embody it in your soul. Yeah. That's true healing.
Yeah. And it feels amazing. I mean, I'm speaking from experience, and that's why I like to do what I do, is because I know how it feels, and I want everybody to feel that, because it is a better life, and the more people who are having a good life, the better world we're going to have, honestly. Yes, so yes. I mean, tease me if you will, but I do want to save the world, and this is how.
one mind, heart, and soul at a time.
One reveal and release at a time.
So yeah,
listeners, if you know, like, just an aside, don't forget that we provide you this weekly service of hearing about some of these topics, but that it can always, with, you know, with a message to our Freud's angels Gmail or our Facebook page or even our Instagram, which isn't very active at this time, but we'll get more active. You can deepen your connection with what we're talking about on each podcast.
Even ask the question, how does this fit in my life? Where does this, how can I apply this to me?
Yeah.
And having conversation. So
we're here for it.
We are. And we really want, while the podcast is our passion, our biggest passion is to help you live that life of peace, empowerment, that sense of that transformational life. That is that sense of like, if I want it, I can do it. I can have it. I can, you know, it's possible. Mm-hmm. And to step in fully to your light, to step fully into your skin of who you are and help you just release all of the programming, all of the adopted thought processes, the adopted mindsets, everything to release it and put it down with love, with reverence, with kindness, but to really step forward into that space of that light. So that's what we wish for you. That's our desire.
Exactly. That's how the podcast came to be, is because the passion is there and this is an outlet for sharing and completing our, you know, fulfilling our passion, fulfilling our what we feel is our purpose on a daily basis. I love it.
Absolutely. Yay. So until next time, my friends, I really encourage you to take a look at some of the thoughts that you may have around your dreams, around whatever it is that that you wish for in life, and look at the thought process, look at the words you're saying out loud and not out loud to yourself, and yes, really kind of dialing into an awareness. That's the first step, is that awareness. Probably. Then you can heal from there.
You bet.
So we love you and we will see you next week.
Yeah, love y'all.
Thank you for joining us on Freud's Angels.
We are thankful for each of you opening up your heart to us.
To continue the healing, connect with us on Instagram at Freud's_angels and on Facebook at Freud's Angels.
Please subscribe to the show so that we may help you continue your journey.
And remember to give us some love in the review section.
If anything we've talked about today has triggered an emotional or mental crisis, please call 911 or head to the nearest emergency center.
And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.